early things coming out about Flanner, we might be in a good thing for Flanner, maybe. Seabass looks like it's going to be an uphill battle, uphill fight again. So.
Yeah, but flounder, don't you feel the lethargy? Like everybody's gone, we don't have to do anything about flounder.
No. It's at a point in time where things need to change dramatically.
Yeah.
And they're not. And all we keep hearing each meeting we go to, give it time. It's going to change.
You gave it 20 years.
In the last meeting...
I thought we were going to have Flounder on the calendar for this
no. meeting. Flounder won't pop up until the March meeting.
Unless we pop it up.
I think it's March.
Even if it pops up, we don't have any information yet on it. So.
However, it would be a good time to keep that current because I had a discussion the other day about we're going to be backed into the same gosh darn thing that we were last year with this meeting not coming up till March, and we're going to be right down to the wire in May again with a decision, particularly since I'm hearing really unfavorable season limit. I mean, we know there's a ton of flounder. Anybody in the industry knows there are a ton of flounder, right? And he says, as we catch more, Bucktail Willie caught more in October than he did even during the summer because his boat was out of the water for 6 weeks. As we catch more. Obviously, we bring in more poundage. We are then curtailed to a higher degree because we caught more. So how in the world do we get ahead in this industry and get that slot fish and allow people to take the smaller ones, not target the breeders? Where do we get there from here? I mean, you're the guy.
Well, that's a double-edged sword. Thanks, Robin.
Haven't I been saying that all year since that meeting? I mean, that was my highlight of my year last year in January.
One of the biggest things that we got to do, we have to fix Magnus and Stevens. We got to get Magnus and Chase. We got to get that fixed. There's been some movement.
How are you going to do that single-handedly?
Well, that's just it. We haven't been doing it single-handedly. Everybody's been battling in a lot of different states. The RFA's been battling it.
They have. Yeah.
Don Frio's been making phone calls. He was down in Washington, I guess, a couple weeks ago as well for it.
Indianapolis.
So, Madison's got to get changed. There's got to be flexibility in there, and they got to raise a quota. That's the bottom line. They have to have a common sense approach, which we don't have in regulations right now. We have no common sense approach. Haven't had a common sense approach in probably 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep going back to the same thing, kick the can down the road with a system that is broken and just does not work.
And like Robin says, we're always a couple months out from a season, and we don't know what happened. They can't get ahead 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years even. But
last year was a couple days out from a season.
We brought it up again down south at the meeting there. We brought it up again. When are we going to let the seasons go for 2 or 3 years and see where the chips fall after 3 years? And all we keep getting told, it's coming. I said, yeah, well, the Pope's coming back again too, right?
Right.
So, it's getting to be a point in time. By the time things roll around, everybody's going to be out of business, which is the bottom line, which is what the I'll probably get shot for saying this, the environmentalists want us to do. They want us to quit fishing, they want us to be out of business, and bottom line.
Yeah. I think that it's a fight we have to. We started last year, and my little stick here is to keep the momentum going.
The wheels got to keep turning. The wheels got to keep turning.
And mine is that we are the environmentalists. We are the conservationists.
We're the conservationists. We're not the environmentalists. Yeah. We're the conservationists.
Well, I'm an environmentalist.
Right. We're the ones that utilize the fish.
No, we think the summer flounder and some of this is migrating to the north because of the climate.
Yeah.
That's just one part of it. Another part of it is to give us better management options so we can manage the fishery. And, as you alluded to earlier, we kill a lot of the bigger fish, and just the mortality of the throwbacks is very high.
That's another factor, isn't it?
One keeper,
Yeah.
I mean, you guys can attest to that in South Jersey. I hear that story all the time. It's very hard to catch a 19-inch fish in the middle of the summer down there.
Yeah, that's right. They kind of bigger fish seem to migrate north. They come in here, and it's early in the year, and then they leave, and when they leave, they wind up, a few miles up the coast.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges we're having here is to get NOAA to do, you know, with the raw data, to do some surveys further north where they haven't done them before, to do more detectability, because a lot of the surveys they do are in areas where the summer flounder, because of the climate and the changes, you know, recently, and it may not stay this way, but for now, it certainly has. They're doing their old surveys and stuff in areas where the fish just simply aren't there anymore. It could be because of beach replenishment or, you know, certain things, but they are there, you know, and a lot of these fish have moved to the north. And like I said, you know, we're trying to get them to do, you know, newer surveys with more detectability as opposed to just going back to the old thing over and over again.
Okay, I got Bob Rush and Robin Scott in the studio. I think Robin has a question for you.
Greg, you know, we have difficulty, it seems like, in New Jersey getting to the meat of the entire issue. What would prohibit us from, or would they simply not share, using Delaware's information, since their open season, 365 days a year, as you well know, and up until last year, it was four fish at 16 inches. People could go there. I mean, from an economic standpoint, from a fishery standpoint, it all made sense. You would have families leaving from Philadelphia or Wilmington. They go down there, get on and off the bay, catch their four fish for dinner, and then stay and spend their money in other entertainment there. Why are we not able to tap into their studies? Because obviously they're doing something, and I keep hearing they have more money than we have to pour into this. They're doing something we're not.
Robin, when you say to who, do you mean the National Marine Fisheries Service or their studies? Or
no, Delaware, the state of Delaware, since we share the bay with them.
Right. Well, you know, the state has surveys and everything, but basically the laws are made by, you know, coast-wide by the Mid-Atlantic and Atlantic fisheries. So, and they're handed down to the state to manage it whatever way they can, that their rules and regulations. So they're given a quota for the most part, and the state has to manage it whatever way they feel best, you know. And a lot of the work that's being done by the different states has been ignored over the years, as you are alluding to here a little bit. And we're hopefully going to, you know, take some of this information, especially this male-female thing, and, you know, hopefully, you know, like I said, use this in the upcoming, you know, next stock assessment here, which hopefully will be next year. I hope that answers your question.
To add on, Robin, too, to add on to it, part of the problem, New Jersey has the biggest piece of the pie.
Right.
New Jersey has a lot of history with flounder landings, sea bass landings, and every fish species up and down the coast.
We are the best. We know that.
Delaware is a lot smaller state. They don't have the people going fishing via party boats, charter boats,
access
and stuff like that. So they don't have all the landings we have. Okay, so because we're the biggest piece of the pie, New Jersey gets hit hardest with most everything that we have, which is why our fight is so big. Mm-hmm. New Jersey is in that section. It's in the middle of middle of all the states where we are the what's the word I'm looking for, Greg? We are the outchild, I guess. You want to say we're not in the north zone and we're not in the southern zone.
So we're kind of
right.
Sitting here
careful.
By ourselves.
I got the beeper.
Holly's nervous.
And it's especially true with the sea bass. You know, a lot of those states up to the north have a better geographical region to hold the sea bass and everything. And, you know, one of the things, I'm not going to get into sea bass because we're talking about summer flounder, but they said we had over 7,000 fish caught from the, you know, 12 and a half fish caught from the shore in the National Marine Fisheries Service. And, you know, Bob and I know that it's
bogus.
Impossible to catch 7,000 sea bass from the shore or regulation size. So, anyway, so getting back to your question is, a lot of the stuff they use there, Robin, they can use it, and they ignore using it. So, and that's part of the frustrating part for a captain like Bob and, you know, other people where, you know, they gather this information and they try to give it to them to use, and, you know, it just goes on file sometimes, unfortunately.
Strengthening Fishing Communities and Increasing Flexibility in Fisheries Management Act. But
well,
that's a tongue twister.
That's a tongue twister.
Then they have in parentheses Modern Fisheries Act.
That's a Modern Fisheries Act.
It should be just H.R. 200, Common Sense Fisheries Approach, period.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, right, Hutch?
Well, Bob, you worked so long on calling it flexibility. We need the Flexibility Act approved. Let's get Flexibility Act approved.
Yeah. Sheesh.
So, and then the Modern Fish Act, Robin, that's something different.
Something different entirely.
But here's the thing is, here's what the recreational community, and I say that meaning RFA and the NMMA and the ASA, everybody's together to try to get certain components of the so-called Modern Fish Act rolled in to the actual version. And that was successful on the House of Representatives side, that HR 200. That has the stuff we need in there, the Modern Fish Act. Now the goal is going to be to get Dan Sullivan and Marco Rubio and Bill Nelson, who are instrumental in that Senate committee down on Capitol Hill, to get those same components from the Modern Fish Act in their version so we can get two bills to the floor of both the House and Senate and maybe get that signed off by President Trump before the first quarter is out. Who knows?
Well, we can talk about flounder at any point.
There might be some about flounder, maybe. There's going to be some about sea bass, for sure. What else is on the agenda? I forget off the top of my head because I don't have it in front of me right now, but there's always a possibility.
I love your flexibility. Sure. Do you notice that he started the meeting saying, or started the show saying, there would be nothing on flounder? And now he said, well, there might be a little bit on flounder. Did you notice that?
He's
softening.
You never know what's going to get brought up.
No,
how's that, Robin?
Do. How about that? Jim, while we still have you, you mentioned Booker and the importance of getting to our representatives. What and who should we be talking to at this point? Who do we target?
Good question.
I think the target's going to be Senator Booker and Senator Menendez. They're the guys who are really going to be key. I think it's important for folks who are members of the Recreational Fishing Alliance to maybe get in touch with RFA. But it seems like we're going to be okay on the House side. You know, that bill's already out of committee, and that should have no problem getting voted on the floor of the House. She, of course, is going to be getting the senators. And if we can get a couple of, let's be honest, the Democrats on Capitol Hill don't have any interest in going against party lines right now. It's bogged up. But if we can get Menendez and if we can get Booker, and if there's already Senator Nelson as a Democrat from Florida, get those guys on this bill.
We might be able to keep the same season. We might be able to keep the same size. We might be able to do a little bit longer season. I can't tell you if it's going to be same season. Can't tell you if it's going to be the same size limit. I just don't know yet.
Has it been determined that we're our own region?
We are, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Yep.
That's one positive.
Yes.
And then do you have the flexibility to split the state?
Well, it's something that's going to be talked about probably at the January 4th meeting. That might be one of the things that might pop up because there has been a lot of talk about it going forward. We have talked about splitting the state, having a season, earlier maybe in the southern end of the state, a later season north end of the state. We don't know yet. It's a possibility that's going to get brought up again, and it will be talked about very heavily in the next upcoming weeks.
Well, yeah, the take on summer flounder is I would love to see what Bobby was just talking about before, is the state split into two pieces. The biggest challenge we've had since having to get forced into that region with New York a few years ago, which was a real mess, is trying to come up with a set of limits that make sense for both, South Jersey and North Jersey. And you say flounder versus fluke. So that's good that the Jersey has finally gotten out of that.
It has been a little bit of a trap, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was really ugly, and that kind of left a lot of choices off the table. But getting that hooking, you get that increase in 2018, and I was telling Robin the other day too, is that I think the state of New Jersey under the Christie administration was really receptive to coming around with some idea of two sets of limits for the two different needs we have in the state of New Jersey. It's going to be weird figuring out what Governor Murphy wants to do and how well his...
Any sense about what's going to happen with him or which way they're going to go?
Well, they're just settled in, Shep. I don't think they really know. You know, and to allude to what Jim said, working with David Glass and Bob Martin and, being able to make some changes, with the regulations to give us more freedom was was great, but we don't know what's going to happen with this administration yet. But, you know, back to separating the state real quickly, I think that we proved that we can separate the state by, you know, putting Delaware down there and giving them their own little region with New Jersey. That was one of the challenges for Fish and Game. And Bob can maybe, you know, elaborate on this a little bit, but we actually proved that we were able to separate the state without much confusion and, you know, maybe run the sea bass season right into the flute season and, you know, in South Jersey be able to, you know, fish for the flute when they're around there, not when they're already gone, you know? I mean, that's been one of the problems. Yeah.
One of the things, Chef, we've all talked about is it's hard in an inlet because when you're coming through an inlet, right, you either go north or south.
That might not work.
It does make an enforcement problem.
You're right. But,
believe it or not, we do have data federally and state-wise. Our state, the dividing line is right at Island Beach State Park.
Is it? Yeah.
That is where the dividing line is, and that is where it has been for multiple years. And that comes right from NIMS. Separate the state. We go right across Island Beach State Park. From Island Beach State Park, it's a different season, size and bagglement, everything. And then from there, south end of state, in the southern zone as...
So that's Barnegat Inlet. Island Beach State Park is north.
Correct.
And then Beach Inlet.
That really makes sense, yet a lot of times things that make sense don't always happen. As
correct. No, we don't have common sense in management. Fisheries management has no common sense, Greg. You do that like I do. There's no common sense in fisheries management.
And they can be thirsty, but they won't drink.
Right.
I don't understand.
Correct.
So we'll see.
Correct.
I mean, this would be a win-win for everyone here, and it would really be helpful with the economy and keeping jobs, you know, and also for the fishery itself. I mean, it would just, it's just an all-round win for everyone. And, you know, as Jim has written about many times in his, you know, in The Fisherman and things like that, that, you know, if you read some of this stuff, that it absolutely needs to happen, especially in the state of New Jersey, you know.
Greg, I always throw in a couple more things for your cannon fodder there is safety and public access. We are stewards of these waterways for our taxpayers. And from a safety standpoint, the past couple of years, we've been crowding the recreational people in with the jet skiers and everybody else, shooting them all out on the water like a cannonball on Memorial Day weekend. And it is as dangerous as all get out. Why not open, at least if Southern New Jersey matched Delaware, you know, let people get out there in April when there are fish in the water, and spread that frenzy of cabin fever over the couple of months before Memorial Day. It would certainly make more sense from, you know, what you were just saying. Just add that on to your list of ammo.
Just keep in mind, Robin, when you open in April, that's what you choose to do. If they're able to do that, and Bob, you and I both know that we don't know what the options are going to be.
Correct.
You will have a closure at one point in the summer to have the September season, which we'll also want. So you just can't run.
We run it all.
September. Yeah. it can't stay open that long. It just won't. The numbers won't work. Yeah.
Well, no. Greg, their numbers won't work.
Right.
Our numbers will work just fine.
Yes, ours will be fine.